My eyes were blinded by the tears, forcing me to stop the car on the side of the road. Heavy snow had developed, and I was still an emotional wreck. My heart was aching, and my sobs carried through the air with only the howl of the wind to answer back. I kept cursing under my breath, cursing my now dead fiancé for the decision that he made. My God, why did he leave me like this? I will elaborate more. It happened about 5 weeks ago. My boyfriend, and soon-to-be fiancé, told me that he offered to go to some small town near the border of Missouri. It was a southern Illinois town that had reports of livestock being mutilated by what was thought to be a wild animal at first, but had later reported that it was something far more intelligent. He was a statewide investigator for the Springfield Police Department. Because of the nature of the killings, it fell upon him to uncover who was behind all of this. And after a week had passed, I was told that he was dead. My heart still feels like it's collapsing into a void of cold, unfeeling darkness. I know that sounds dramatic, but at the end of the day, grief is different for most people. We both had the joy of being PIs, but I was late to the game, and often got laughed at by the circle of other investigators due to my inexperience. But not him. He trained me and would encourage me at every turn. In his own words, he said to me,
"You're one tough babe. I don't think any crook's gonna expect someone as daring as you."
He had simple words, but that meant everything to me. And now I'll never get to hear them again. When I heard what happens to him, I asked if I could see his body for confirmation. The police chief told me it wouldn't be necessary, because the only way they were able to identify him was from dental records. Few of his teeth managed to survive the attack that happened. The funeral was rather quick. I guess his mom and dad had always had a backup plan in case of an early death, given his line of work. There wasn't even a body in the casket. There was so little of his body that we had him cremated as quickly as we could. Everything after that felt so unfair, and after weeks of brewing in my agonizing loss, I decided I was going to find whoever did this and make them pay. Once I had calmed down from the emotional breakdown, I resumed my drive into the town, arms to the teeth this time. I had access to police weapons and wasn't going to take chances. I had the intent of killing this man, at least what I thought was a man. When I got to the town, I saw that it looked no different than many others that existed in the rural counties. This one, known as Emeryton, Illinois, was not too far away from the obscure town of Auburndale. Honestly, I've heard some weird stuff happened over there, but it's been closed off as of late. When I got there, I did what every other private investigator would do to get information. Go to the library. But first, a much-needed coffee break. It was still early in the morning, and I needed some coffee badly. I found a small diner and decided to start some small talk with the waitress there. Once I had gotten through the formalities, what I really was after came next. I tried my laid-back, soft voice to lure her into a sense of security to lower her guard. "So, now, I hear this town has been having some livestock killed. Why do you think that is?" She was an innocent-looking girl who clearly seemed less guarded than how all the other older folks in this town appeared. She said,
"It's really strange. I haven't had any issues with it, but I have heard some strange noises coming up from the hills. The next day, the farmer who lives next door to me said that 3 of his goats got gutted."
"Any reason for that? You think it was an animal or some psychopath?" She looked around first to make sure that we weren't being spied on.
"Frankly, I couldn't tell you if it was either. Whatever it was, it appeared to be smart enough to get by an electric fence. But the manner of its killing of animals is rather gruesome. It's eating them, but smart enough to disable electronics like that is frightening. What if it decides to start going after people in their houses?"
She was looking quite distressed by all of this. I could tell that whatever fear this thing was causing, it was starting to grip more and more of the locals. Not much else happened past that, and I quickly thanked them for the coffee and continued on my way. At the library, for more information on the town itself, I used my position as a private investigator to get into the locked documents in the library vault. Searching through the numerous papers, I was constantly being watched by the librarian. He had this stern, gruff expression that wanted to let me know that I wasn't wanted here. I looked through everything, from the 90s, 80s, and so on and so forth, down the decades. Nothing stood out, and there was hardly any information about other farm animals that had been killed other than what was confirmed to be a coyote or fox killing. Now I was entering the 1800s, and things were getting a little more obscure and vague about news reports. Finally, after hours of searching through everything, there was a similarity between the current attacks and ones that happened in the year 1881. There was a much darker turn than what had been going on here in recent times. The news report stated, "Local farmer and his family were found dead. An official from Chicago had been ordered by the state to investigate a string of disturbing murders on a local farm, with the entire family having been brutally killed late at night. All farm animals had also been killed similarly to the family, and a curfew had been enacted by the local city council. Volunteers have been patrolling all known roads in and out of the town, and reports of a monstrous, deep howling could be heard in the McCann Hills area. As of today, the curfews are still extended, but no further attacks have been reported."
"So this has happened before," I whispered to myself.
"Find everything you need?"
the old man said.
"Almost. I just need to ask you a few questions, old-timer."
"And that would be?"
His deep voice spoke back harshly.
"You know what's going on here? Or perhaps you have a good idea about what's going on around these parts?"
"You're a perceptive investigator. If you're as aware of other people's knowledge, you'll be a smart lady and go back to where you came from."
"I'm afraid that I can't. Whoever it is, they killed my fiancé, and I don't intend on letting them get away with that."
"Suicide mission. I hate to see such a pretty guy like yourself commit to such a vain effort, but I guess it can't be helped. I'll give you some advice."
He waved his hands to me to come closer, and I did. He leaned in and whispered,
"It's an old legend, a grisly beast with an appetite for anything that breathes. If you go up those hills, you may be able to find it. My granddad said that it lives in the caves and attacks anything that gets too close. It's just surprising that it's extending its reach this far towards the town again, after all these years."
He gave me enough information that I needed. I had a heading, and I had a purpose. But what struck me odd is how he referred to it as a beast. Surely this couldn't be some animal. It was way too intelligent to be something like that. I said thank you, and before I departed, he asked
me, "Should you die, I'd like to be able to make a report of you going missing. Could I have your
name?" I looked at him and smirked a little at the notion of me not returning, but life isn't full of guarantees. I'd hate to go missing and never be found.
"It's Tabitha. Tabitha Gradsmith. Make sure to let the boys of the department know that it's Private Investigator Tabitha."
I winked at him, keeping up the facade of a confident woman. I desperately could not show any weakness or alert anyone about how personal this was. He looked at me, confused, but wrote it down on a piece of paper that he had on the table in front of him. He said indifferently,
"Noted."
So, there I was again, heading towards something that had not been identified, has lived in the region for more than 100 years, and I was only armed with an AR-15, a 9mm Glock, and an off-road Jeep that was full of melancholy memories of when I and my boyfriend would go on hiking trips in the summer. The trip over the hills wasn't so bad, despite trying to drive through 4 to 5 inches of snow. Honestly, I've been through much worse conditions than this, but the snow kept coming down, and I didn't have much gas left on me. I stopped for a moment and checked the area where the newspaper said that it was supposedly stalking around. Stepping out of my Jeep, I walked around through the snow, thankful that I was dressed for the occasion. After about 20 minutes, I was growing anxious about my remaining sunlight. Wintertime means that the sun goes down much earlier than before, and it was starting to look a little too close for comfort. I didn't want to be caught out here at night. Despite searching for caves, I saw nothing. So, I figured it was the best time to call it quits. When I got back to the Jeep, right as I opened the door, I heard the terrible howl of an animalistic screeching that sent a chill riding up my spine. My God, it sounded so sickly and made me feel a perpetual sense of paralyzing dread. Sounds shouldn't be able to do that, yet I felt every sense of bravery that I originally had that got me up this hill draining out of my body. In a panic, I got into my jeep and sped back down the trail that I took. I never stopped, but I did look in my rearview mirror. I peered a little too close, spotting something with atrociously long arms extended over its body. Its movements were erratic and aggressive, but it was too small for me to pick apart any thorough details. I never stopped until I made it back to the town, where I would try to regain some nerves. Now that it was nighttime, I chose to stay at a budget motel for the night. I sat on my bed, replaying those events up on the hill, and trying to discern what exactly went wrong. I had come there with the intent of hunting this killer, and just when it was within reach, I got cold feet and ran off like a coward. I was at a loss for words about my actions. Whatever sound it was able to utter, it made me fall apart in fear. I would have to try again tomorrow if I was going to enact my revenge. Still, there was no reason to let the night go to waste. Perhaps a drink at the local bar was needed to calm my nerves. I found myself being hovered over by a bunch of truckers who looked like they hadn't seen a woman who was capable of holding down her drinks. Of course, they'd hit on me, something I was disinterested in, especially since my heart still is tied to my late fiancé. But overall, I was able to drink away some of my sorrow. I vaguely remember asking a young farmer about the creature in the woods. I still had my investigative skills working for me, and the best way to get information is to ask as many people as you can. He looked visibly shaken by my question, but answered, "Why would you want to go looking for that livestock killer?"
"It killed my fiancé," I said back with a cold tone.
My response must have made him feel awkward, though I was determined to get more answers.
"I see,"
he spoke cautiously.
"You seem like you're on a quest for revenge. I guess I could tell you a little bit. I know that it comes out around midnight, and the howling that it screeches throughout that time always seems to end around 4 a.m.
"It doesn't seem to stay out very long now, does it?"
I said.
"Afraid not. That thing only goes after a few animals before retreating back into the hills. I couldn't tell you where it was going to strike anyway. We keep all our farm animals locked up in the barn, then I stand outside with my gun waiting for it at night. My father does most of the farming now during the day."
He took another drink of his liquor glass and let out a loud burp and said,
"Take care of yourself."
I thanked him for his concern and went back to my own drink. I was always more of a vodka drinker, finding many other alcoholic beverages less appealing. I briefly overheard two guys who were talking from behind me.
"I guess it was a weirdo asking about the livestock killer."
The other voice sounded drunker and his words slurred.
Yeah, but he said he's a professional when it comes to fighting them freaks of nature." "Maybe. Although, don't you think it was weird that there was a young girl with him?" "I thought they were father-child, but I could use me a fine young lady," his friend said. "I think you had enough. Let me drive you home before your wife makes you sleep with the pigs."
Such an odd conversation. Was there really someone else out there that was looking for the livestock killer? Maybe a potential ally that I should try to seek out? They did say they were professionals, so I should take this into consideration as well. But soon after, I was feeling the effects of the alcohol already starting to cloud my judgment and disorient my movements. I figured it was time to quit and quickly went back to the room where immediately I passed out on the bed. I couldn't stop spinning, and everything felt heavier than usual. I broke down into tears, and I don't think I quit crying until I finally passed out. The emotional burdens of my loss had caught up after maintaining focus on my mission for this long. When I woke up, I had a pounding headache. I threw up violently in the bathroom and thought about just calling it off for today. Just standing up alone was nauseating enough, but I knew some things that could help with the hangover. Fruit drink and crackers. Thankfully, there was a convenience store nearby for just those items that I needed. After a little bit of shopping, I drank and ate and proceeded towards the bathroom for the hardest cure of them all. A cold shower. I made this one quick, and after getting undressed, I stepped into the frigid sting of the water spraying down on me. I'm not getting drunk ever again. I whimpered so much in the 10 seconds I spent under that shower head. Once that was over, I pulled on some snow pants again, a warm pink jacket, and gloves, and proceeded back towards those hills for another day of searching. When I got up there, I was taken in by the natural beauty of the land. Some place like this didn't deserve to have such a devastating attack, and the townspeople were kind. They didn't deserve any of this. That is why I'm also here for them. Who knows? This monster might try to attack someone like the pretty young girl at the diner, the helpful old man at the library, or that handsome but kind-hearted farmer boy. I needed to do this if I was going to move past my laws. I took my first step and heard the crunch of the snow beneath my boot. There was a change in the air. Everything felt so much more sinister than usual. Making my trek up, I briefly heard the sound of an elk hollering at the top of its lungs. I wasn't aware that there were any elk around here. Then again, I'm not an expert on their migration patterns. The only animals I assumed lived here were deer and bobcats. At any rate, I would have to remain vigilant. Not for the deer or whatever elk had stumbled around, but a potential bobcat that might want to take a swipe at me. Or worse, an extremely hungry wolf. Moving around was difficult in my snow clothes. This was in part at how clumpy the snow was, and that it was starting to reach temperatures of single digits. I also was growing more anxious as I kept moving up. With each step, there was a fear growing inside me. A human sense had activated within me that was telling me that I was being watched from not too far away. But by what? I still hadn't found any cave to search in. Giving up and going back to the town was starting to look like the only option. But there it was again. That inhuman, grotesquely insanity-inducing howl had overshadowed the strong breath of the wind. I held on tightly to my gun, my eyes darting back and forth in a panic. There was a tree branch that broke left and right, behind me and in front. I was certain that it was coming for me. I held my gun up to my eye and kept looking back and forth, keeping my focus trained through the scope. Something moved in the corner, and almost by reflex, I fired my gun. But instead of hearing that atrocious roaring, I was met with the painful whimper of a coyote that I had accidentally shot. It scuttered away best it could before dropping. It kept thrashing around, and I was already in shock over what I had done. I never wanted to harm an animal on my way up here. I wasn't a hunter, and I cared for animals. This was more heartbreaking for me, and I saw that the poor creature was suffering. I knew what I had to do, and I fired another bullet at it, this time aiming for the head. Now, I was feeling even more awful than before. My loss, my guilt of not being there for him, and now this. I needed to go back to the motel. I wasn't cut out for this, and I wasn't in the right mindset. When I was going to begin my descent back to the jeep, I heard another flurry of branches breaking and held my gun up again. But I was much more on the cautious side. If it was just another coyote, I'd rather not be responsible for another irresponsible killing. But I was caught off guard, and something crept up behind me. I turned around as fast as I could, but its outstretched arm hit me so hard that it sent me flying back down the steep end of the hill without any walking needed. With a hard crash into the snow, I was practically buried in a mound of it. I guess this provided to be a blessing in disguise, because I was already losing consciousness, but had just enough of the snow to cover me up and allow me to breathe. The last thing I saw was something blurry and dark approaching where I had landed, only to let out another one of those abhorrent growls and walk away. Another elk call erupted, and I passed out. When I came to, I felt so cold that I felt truly like a dead body. My arms and legs had stiffened, and I was almost fearful that frostbite was setting in. But I could still move them. Looks like the extra layers were a good idea after all. But I knew that I couldn't stay out here for too much longer. Using what little strength I had left in me, I forced myself out of the mound and felt a jarring pain in my left leg. It didn't feel broken, but it wasn't something that you could move fast on. I was still disoriented, and everything kept spinning. My vision was turning red, and I could briefly see that it was already nighttime. The winds were picking up more intensely, and the snow was coming down harder than before. The cold was even worse, clearly entering the negatives. It's probably a good thing I woke up now instead of later. Moving around would help warm me up a bit, but I needed to get back ASAP. I heard an owl nearby and thought that it was odd. It's freezing outside. I wouldn't expect one of them to be around here. But then there's nothing normal about this place. I saw the butt end of my AR sticking out of the snow nearby, and quickly as I could, got a hold of it. This was by no means an easy task. My joints were aching with each swift movement. Continuing my descent, I could still hear that rugged, deathly howl around me, the crunching of snow being kicked up and drawing closer towards me. Now I was truly in fight-or-flight mode, and flight was not looking like an option. I just froze in my spot. Yes, I was shaking, but I wasn't able to move anywhere. And like that, it was gone. Whatever it was, it seems to have moved on. I thought I was in the clear, so I kept walking on until, after about 5 minutes, I came across a small opening in the trees. When I was getting around a few, I heard the sound of something cracking. Again, I froze, but I peeked around the side of the tree to see what it was. There was a munching, slurping sound coming from around, and when I looked over, I felt my heart quaking with fear. Eating the carcass of what I could only guess was a cow, this seven-fingered, four-armed, emaciated creature was stripping out all of the cow's internal organs and putting them into a mouth that stretched from the bottom of its head down to its abdomen. Its skin, black and veiny, but its torso was covered in snow-white hair. It had an indistinguishable skull ahead and four ram horns that bent and split in different directions. Instead of legs, it had four large tentacles that were outstretched. And as for the four arms, they actually were two, but split into two at the elbows. And lastly, three eye sockets glowed with a red light. I started taking my steps back, not wanting to get my revenge anymore. But it all made sense now. My fiancé must have come out here just like I did, and met a horrible fate with this thing. Now I needed to get out. But as I took my first step, the creature became rattled and started looking around. It's not like I was fully hidden, but it acted like it couldn't see me. I took a wild guess and figured that it couldn't see anything that doesn't move. But not moving would be a horrible idea, because it's freezing out here, and I'll die if I don't keep moving. The creature started gliding around on its tentacles, looking around each tree but giving off a disappointed growl. Soon, it started moving away from me, making unintelligible sounds as it went. Was it talking? When I thought the coast was clear, I went back to my cautious running. Despite the pain in my leg, adrenaline was kicking in, and no longer was I too concerned with an injured leg getting worse. My life was at stake now. I saw my jeep, and a rush of relief finally got the better of me. Unfortunately, as I went for the door, that thing hopped on top of it, smashing the entire roof in.
God, no, not you again,
I shouted in frustration. It kept making some strange noises that I couldn't distinguish. Whatever they were, it sounded like language, but nothing I could understand. It slowly crawled down, and I wasn't sure if it had lost sight of me, or if it was just taunting me. But it was almost on top of me, so I went with the ladder. Aiming my AR-15, I started firing at it, and the creature jumped back, making painful moaning sounds as it fell back onto my jeep.
So bullets work.
I smiled a little. Remembering what I learned from my fiancé when he showed me what it was like in the military, I retreated back towards some of the trees and hid behind one. If the creature could only see me when I was moving, and it wasn't able to watch where I was hiding, I could easily keep shooting at it while I tried looking for movement. Firing another shot at the creature, it was becoming more erratic and thrashing around with intense savagery. It took out its anger of not being able to see me on my car. Now I was left stranded. But I had no other choice but to get this thing. If I had to go down tonight, I'm taking it with me. It kept skulking past all the trees, eagerly trying to find me. I had to keep darting from one tree trunk to another. I take a few shots, reload, take a few shots, and repeat. But I had become so hyper-focused on the creature that I didn't know I was standing near a cliff. It was a small one, but I lost my footing and felt everything fall from under me. I tumbled onto a frozen pond. Now I had another issue. If that creature saw me here, no doubt it would have me cornered. I had to quickly but carefully slide my whole body over to dry land. In this negative degree weather, falling into frozen water would be a death sentence. Unfortunately, the creature saw me moving and jumped straight into the pond, causing it to shatter underneath me, and I fell into the water anyway. The brief few seconds in that water were agonizing. My body was freezing, and shock kept creeping up on me. But I pushed through with unimaginable strength until I got to land. I ended up losing my AR, but now I was on solid ground. Despite my body begging me not to, I ran as fast as I could. You'd think a creature that only had tentacles for legs would be a little sluggish, but this thing was by no means slow. It raised its body height and was constantly a shadow over me in the moonlight. My body was right at the moment where it could no longer move. I was wet, cold, and tired. I didn't bring my 9mm, so now I was defenseless. But I saw a fire nearby. A campfire. Who would want to be camping out here? Nevertheless, I thought maybe I'd be safer if I went toward them. Perhaps they were hunters. There was a small incline that I had to get over, but right as I was about to reach the top, the creature came landing down on my legs. It had me pinned, and it moved its grotesque skull head towards me. I felt drips of drool on my face, and tears were starting to fall. At least I'd be with my love soon. I just hoped this doesn't have to be too painful. Its vertical mouth opened up in a row of teeth, and multiple tongues stuck out in front of me. As it was about to take a bite, I heard the cocking of a shotgun, and someone say,
"Hey now, show some manners, buddy."
The creature looked up, but had its entire head shattered into a spray of blood. It fell back and tried to pick up its skull fragments to keep a misty red light from escaping from the neck wound. I looked up and saw a man with a short but well-groomed thick brown beard and sharp eyes that looked like they were always in a state of great focus. He was dressed in a white camouflage military-grade snowsuit.
"Are you okay?"
He consoled me with his hand extending out. His smile was warm, calm, and genuine.
I was almost..."
I couldn't take it. I threw myself to him and was desperately in need of some comfort. From my loss to this leg pain, the freezing water, and nearly getting my head bitten off, I was emotionally, physically, and mentally exhausted. I cried hard and tightly, but I was aware that whoever he was, he froze, too. Likely by the awkwardness, but he gave off such a protective vibe.
"It's okay. We'll kill this primordial abomination."
"Kushum, found your rival."
From behind him stood a tall, skull-headed monster in medieval armor and a leather-padded coat. I screamed that what's-his-name held me tightly to stop me from exerting myself too much.
"Whoa, whoa, chill,"
he chuckled, considering I was covered in icy water. I shuddered, trying to warn him.
But that's a monster."
"Yeah, but he and I are partners in crime,"
he laughed again. The tall one, Kushum, approached the first monster, and he said coldly,
"You always were an annoying neighbor."
It made those unintelligible sounds again, but the other monster replied back similarly. Suddenly, Kushum grabbed the shoulders of the abomination and opened his snout, sending out blue lights that wrapped around the body of the prey, and red light appeared to be dancing with the blue, but the blue was overpowering it into a whirlwind, until there was nothing left of it. He released his grip and the empty husk and let it drop sharply.
"What? How did he kill it?"
The guy answered.
"He ate it."
I was going to ask him to elaborate, but another person came over from the camp.
Henry, why were there gunshots? Did you find the...
She stopped and took notice of my presence.
Oh, I thought we were alone out here.
Samantha, help me get her to your tent, quick, he ordered.
She looked offended at first, until she realized that I was dying from the cold. They both carried me to a tent in their camp, and as I was laid inside, the girl named Samantha turned around and pushed Henry out, saying,
Stay out. I have to remove her wet clothes.
All right, fine,
he replied, irritated by her outburst. I quickly fell unconscious, but strangely, I felt a warmth overwhelm my body. It was such a relief that I felt like I never wanted to leave it. I woke up, wrapped in a warm blanket, and desperately looked around for my clothes. When I found them, and was surprised to find that they had been dried, but smelled like firewood, I opened the tent and spotted the guy, Henry, still sitting by the fire. The sun was rising up, and it looked beautiful out here, like a winter wonderland, with the sun glistening off the snow-covered pines. I said,
Hey.
He looked over and greeted me with a smile.
Hey, you. You're finally awake. You walked right into our camp, same as that monster over there.
I looked around and saw that the other girl was currently setting up green-colored rocks around the dead body.
Where's your monster?
I asked, still looking around fearfully.
Cushum?
He got up and walked towards me and said,
I'd say he's checking for any offspring that primordial possibly had.
I raised my eyebrow at him and asked,
What are you talking about?
It's nothing. We actually have to be heading out. Gotta go and kill other primordials before we moved.
Again, I had zero context on anything that he was talking about. But he saved me, and what I saw last night had to have been real. So quickly, I thanked them for rescuing me. I was way in over my head, but I'm glad I was able to help them kill that creature. Well, I helped them find it. The guy and girl gave me a ride back toward the town and helped me get myself a ride back to Springfield. I can only assume that this is some sort of father-daughter business they had going on, but I had to return to my normal life, and I was afraid to say that I'd probably never see them again. Going back to work had become so lackluster since those events. Granted, I didn't want to do anything that would put my life in danger, but at the same time, I don't think it's something I can ignore. What I saw in those woods that day, they'll haunt me for the rest of my life. So I decided to do some more digging. I looked for other strange things that go on in my state. You'd be surprised how many missing persons, gruesome murders, and unexplainable phenomena have happened in the state of Illinois. And I'm noticing a dangerous trend. These events have been acting up way too much lately, and it's not just here, either. I think I may need to start taking more strange cases. Something is going down in some sort of shady world outside our civilized world, and all these monster attacks are bringing up a repressed memory. But that's a story for another day.